The year?
1862.
The place?
London. My name is Gerald Spavin, of Spavin and Spavin, the publishers.
And I am Mrs. Edith Spavin, Gerald's mother. Since I left the firm, I have become a writer. My star is in the ascendancy.
But the fortunes of the firm, I fear, are declining fast.
So now?
Oh, dear. Read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade, with Michael Cochran as Primus, David Horovitch as Gerald, Maggie Steed as Cordelia, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, Charles Simpson as Simeon, and Joan Sims as Mrs. Quirk. Episode 3, Terminal Journals.
Ah, Primus.
Nice room, but not as nice as mine. You wanted a chat, Stepeter?
Well, do sit down. Not so much a chat, I think, as an opportunity for me to tell you face to face and without beating around the bush and so forth. You're fired, for want of a better word.
Fired, Stepeter? Pourquoi?
Primus, are you familiar with our sales figures for the last 3 years? Are you aware at all of our profit margins?
Profit margins, Stepeter?
The position is this, Primus. The firm is on the verge of ruin, and the cause of its ruin is you.
Me, Stepeter? Are you quite certain?
Yes, quite. Since the day, oh, that you joined the firm, oh, you have shown yourself to be grossly negligent, grossly incompetent, and guilty of gross malpractice.
I deny the charges. Produce the evidence.
Certainly. In this very fat file here, 131 examples of your deviant behaviour. So, what do you say to that?
To that, I say this. Keep your fat file. Je ne regrette rien. You tell me I'm fired, and I tell you, Stepeter, I refuse to be fired.
Mother?
Not now, Gerald. I'm busy.
You don't look very busy.
I'm thinking about my third bestseller in 3 years.
Ah, well, it is about your third bestseller in 3 years that I wish to talk. Oh, Mother, things are very bad with the firm. So bad, indeed, that I fear it will soon go under. But if you were to let your third bestseller be published by Spavin and Spavin, the firm, I'm certain, would quickly find its feet again. Success would breed success. What do you say, Mother?
No.
Never?
Never. Not at least until you have dispensed with the services of the idiot boy.
But I have tried to dispense with the mother, and he has refused to let me. He says he has a job to do, and he won't abandon it now. He'll see it through to the bitter end.
Well, Gerald, if you won't fire the boy, then you can't have my book. And then I think it will be a bitter end indeed. It will be the wormwood and the gall.
Oh, Mother.
The fault is yours, Gerald, not mine. You were the one who was infatuated with the mother of the boy.
Yes. Thank you, Mother.
It is night time, and my wife and I...
Cordelia, darling.
Yes, darling.
She and I are in bed together. Cordelia, I want to ask a very, very big favour of you.
Oh, I think I'm asleep, darling.
It concerns Primus.
Primus? Oh, the dear, dear boy.
He is a dear, dear boy. However...
So bright, so talented. With Primus, all things are possible.
With Primus, the ruin of Spavin and Spavin is almost inevitable.
Darling, that's a most ungenerous remark.
Darling, generosity, I'm afraid, can no longer be afforded.
But after all that the poor boy has done for you...
Well, Cordelia, I rather wish that he hadn't done all that he has done. I wish that he had never joined the firm. I wish that he'd never become a junior partner. Why, oh, why did I permit it?
As a special favour to me, darling, because you love me.
Yes, and now, Cordelia, I would beg you, as a special favour to me, to release me from my obligation. Let Primus, with your encouragement, be prized from his post. Let him be moved sideways, upstairs. I'll make him a consultant, a special advisor, anything, so long as he is no longer involved in the day-to-day running of the firm. Cordelia?
I think you are being very hard upon the boy.
Plead with him, or else we are ruined.
Well, then, I will. I will use all the powers of persuasion that a mother and an actress has at her disposal.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Darling.
Yes, Major?
At Gerald's request, I'm asking you not to go to work.
Oh, a day off. That's very decent of him.
Actually, darling, he wants you to take every day off. He wants you to leave the firm, and he asked me to plead with you on his behalf.
Well, Mother, you're making a very fine go of it, but I tell you, I am quite unmoved. I'm not a quitter. I fight on.
Is that your final word?
Absolutely.
Gorgeous, darling. I thought it might be.
Do take a seat.
Oh, thank you, Primus.
Now, the purpose of this meeting, Simeon, is to do some serious brainstorming.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Hoist a few fresh flags up the publishing flagpole.
Right.
Drop the vomit on the stoop and see if the cat licks it up.
Ah.
Shoot the breeze and reap the whirlwind. Mm. So, Simeon, in your own time?
Yes. Let me see. Tricky. Yes. Mrs. Quirk.
Please, sir.
Mrs. Q, this is a very welcome break from our endeavours.
Yes, indeed.
Would you care to join us, Mrs. Quirk?
Thank you, Mr. Primus.
We've been thrashing around for some new ideas.
Well, you could raise my wages.
That's a very radical new idea, Mrs. Quirk, and I reject it out of hand.
Mrs. Quirk, what is your bedtime reading at the moment?
It's called Diary of a Man Who Knows He's Going to Die Very, Very Shortly and Who Cries and Rages Against the Unfairness of It All.
Of course. Well, that's it. That's what we should be doing, Primus.
Simeon, I have no intention of slipping the coil just yet, and I tell you, if indeed I had but a short while left to me, I certainly wouldn't spend it with a quill in my hand.
But other folk think otherwise. They take a grim delight in describing the symptoms and process of their physical decline. Oh, yes. Terminal journals are becoming quite the thing.
Hmm.
Myself, of course, I consider them to be a vile pandering to prurience and voyeurs.
Yes. What's your view, Mrs. Q?
I agree.
Right. Let's do 'em.
Meta and I, we are on a train. We are off to see a man about his terminal journal.
Darwin chappie, darling. Is he well known?
Quite well known, Meta. He keeps apes, I believe. Let me glance again at Simeon's notes. Charles Darwin, author of The Origin of Species.
Never heard of it.
And proponent of the theory of the survival of the fittest. But he himself, it seems, ain't fit at all. When it comes to surviving, he won't. Come on, open up.
It is my maid's day off.
That's all right. It wasn't the maid we came to see. Sir, my name is Primus, and I'm a renowned publisher. Also, I've brought my mater with me.
Hello, darling.
So may we come in?
No. Please understand, sir, that I am of an excessively nervous disposition, and that the excitement engendered by being with strangers causes me to suffer violent shivering. Vomiting. I'm fainting fits.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. Clearly, Darwin, you're not a well man. Oh, by the by, do keep a journal? And if you do, where do you keep it exactly? And if you don't, would you like to start one up for the few remaining weeks?
What?
My son is keen to publish it in fortnightly parts, Mr. Darwin, darling.
And it'll be called Mr. Darwin's Death Diary.
And everyone will read it and they'll weep absolute buckets.
Happy with that arrangement?
Simeon, where is Primus?
He is out of town at present, Mr. Spavin. He is on an assignment in the company of your dear lady wife.
An assignment? Oh, dear.
It's all to do with terminal journals. A bold and exciting initiative.
And one which I'm sure that I don't want to hear about. Simeon, while my stepson is absent, I would like to take this opportunity of making a very urgent, nay, desperate request. As you know, Spavin and Spavin is close to financial ruin.
Exciting times.
The cause of the firm's distress is Primus.
He, I think, has been at the forefront of our riskier, more outre ventures.
He has, and for the good of the firm, therefore, I have asked him to leave us and find some other firm and be their ruin. I have pleaded with him. I have pleaded with his mother to plead with him. And now, Simeon, I plead with you. Find some way to remove him. Dupe him into making an expedition to the Amazon. Discover a war zone and send him there. Lock him in an asylum for mine and the nation's safety. Get rid of him.
But Mr. Spavin, he's so very happy here.
I'll make it worth your while.
And he's such a dear, dear friend of mine.
Junior partner in Primus's place? What do you say?
I'll mull it over.
I just can't understand it, Mater. I approach these terminally ill people with a first-rate publishing wheeze, present it to them with all due tact and sensitivity.
Absolutely, darling.
And the stick-in-the-muds just don't want to know. Well, I hope they all die. Soon. Horribly. Nice view. Nice river.
Gorgeous, darling.
I often come here after a day at the office and just stand and stare and relieve myself.
Do you, darling?
Of all the stresses and strains of working pell-mell at the cutting edge. My God, Mater, just look at the size of that rat.
My God, yes, darling.
It's obviously one of those urban mutant super rodents that have developed a resistance to poison and lurk down privies.
They must lurk down very big privies, darling.
Lost! Lost! Lost!
You're a blackfriar, sir. And these fluvial deposits here, sir, belong to the River Thames.
Sir, it is not I that's lost, but my beautiful, poetical wombat, who answers to the name of Virgil.
Ah, is it by any chance a brown and portly creature?
Not dissimilar to a super rat?
It is, and it has the sweetest pinhole eyes and an exquisite, inquisitive nose.
Over there, sir, sorting through the rubbish.
Ah, oh, my Virgil! Latissimo poeta! Madam, sir, how can I ever thank you? Here, Virgil, come to Dante! Good boy! Good boy! Oh, Virgil, you naughty! Naughty! Naughty marsupial! Madam, sir, accompany me to my humble hut, if you will, and help me celebrate, for the wombat was lost, and now is found.
Yes, I am Dante Gabriel Rossetti, he who loves the good but does not practice it. Poet, painter, philanderer, founder member of the PRB.
Never heard of it.
The Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood.
Never heard of it.
Virgil the Wombat, you've already met.
Gorgeous, darling.
And this is Lizzie, my wife, formerly Lizzie Siddle. She is also trying to be a poet and a painter.
Good afternoon.
Lizzie is suffering from curvature of the spine, neuralgia, phthisis.
Phthisis?
A poor education and lack of breathing, leading to feelings of inadequacy, illegible handwriting, bouts of hysteria, frigidity. Anything else, my dearest?
Acute melancholia.
I'm not surprised, darling.
In addition, she tends to be morbidly, but quite justifiably, jealous of the absolute stunners that I use as my models and invariably fall hopelessly in love with. For example, Fanny...
Janie,
thank you. Talking of stunners...
Yes, darling.
You are as stunning a stunner...
You bastard.
...as I have ever glimpsed.
Gorgeous, darling.
You bitch!
Why don't you and I pop upstairs, eh? And I'll show you my copy of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam.
Mrs. Quirk?
Yes, Mr. Simeon?
I need your advice, Mrs. Quirk.
Yes, Mr. Simeon.
I have a friend.
Yes, Mr. Simeon?
And this friend of mine, he in turn has a friend. And both of these friends work for a publishing house.
Oh, yes, Mr. Simeon.
And the stepfather of the friend of the friend...
Yes, Mr. Simeon.
He is managing director of the firm. And he wants the friend, by hook or...
By crook?
To see to it that the friend of the friend no longer works there. In return for which favour, the friend will get the friend of the friend's position.
Uh-huh.
What, therefore, is the friend to do? Which is more important? Friendship with the friend of the friend, or career advancement? And if the friend were to opt for the latter, how would he secure his friend's removal?
Hmm. These are very, very interesting questions, Mr. Simeon.
He might murder him, I suppose.
Yes. That's true, he might.
Hmm. Thank you, Mrs. Quirk. You've been most helpful.
I have red hair, you see.
You do?
And red hair, you see, is unlucky.
Is it? Oh, bad luck.
I am a confirmed invalid.
You are indeed. Your invalid status is beyond all dispute. Lizzie, a thought has just struck me most forcibly.
My life is so miserable.
So I gather. Miserable and short. Why, therefore, don't you write it up and get yourself published every 2 weeks in Primus's Potpourri? A magical miscellany of stories, reviews, features and gossip published by Spavin and Spavin. What do you say?
No one. No one could be so utterly wretched as I.
My dear old thing, in the wretched mistakes, you are quite nonpareil. So, Lizzie Siddle, just sign here, will you?
Yes, darling?
Bunny O'Row, please, darling.
A fun afternoon?
It's been gorgeous, darling. DG says I'm his Beatrice personified, and he's going to paint 100 stunningly stunning portraits of me and worship me by the hour. How did you get on?
A little less exuberantly, Meta. The Siddle being something of a moaning mini. However, oh, look, Meta, a man.
Where?
With a hood on his head.
Oh, yes, darling. What's that bomb-like object he's holding?
Well, Meta...
Bloody hell! Bloody revolutionaries and proto-anarchists!
Meta?
Yes, darling?
I can feel my legs, but I can't see them.
Well, you had them with you this morning, darling.
Extraordinary thing, ain't it, the human body? I've got so used to having a pair of bandy things on the bottom half of me that I just can't get out of the habit now. Somehow the same old leggy messages are being passed to the brain, just as they always were. I can still sort of feel my legs in a sort of way.
That's because you've still got your legs, darling.
What? My God, so I have. Well, that's a bonus. Are you all present and correct?
I think so, darling.
Splendid. On we go then, Cara.
I understand that there's been an assassination attempt upon you.
Correct.
And upon Cordelia, Mother.
I also understand that the attempt was bungled.
It was. To think that I could have lost my wife.
Yes, you could have lost me, too.
I could, yes. Oh, to think that my dearest, tenderest, sweetest Cordelia...
And her son?
...might of a sudden have been snatched from me.
How is the matter?
Well, I have given her a very large brandy, and she is under strict instructions to rest and recuperate and so forth.
Gerald, darling.
Cordelia, darling.
Another very large brandy, if you wouldn't mind, darling. And then I'm off.
But, Cordelia, darling, you ought to be in bed.
I adore being in bed, darling, but one can't allow personal enthusiasms to stand in the way of social obligation. Could you send for a bomb-proof cab, darling? I've been invited out for dinner.
Miss Siddle! Miss Siddle! I have returned with my legs to the house where DG, Lizzie and the Wombat live, in order to collect the first tragic outpourings from Lizzie's terminal pen. Miss Siddle!
Up here!
Miss Siddle, why are you standing on that stool with a rope round your neck?
Death! Death! Let it be quick!
No, no, it can't be that quick. I haven't even seen your first instalment yet. How did you get on with it, by the way?
Oh, such sorrow!
Did you remember to mention that your life has been a perpetual struggle against dreadful illness?
Yes,
Did you mention that no man ever has loved you for your soul?
Yes, yes.
Prime cut, that's the stuff.
Oh, my life is so miserable. I wish for no more of it.
Nonsense. You wish for another 25 more installments. By the way, I brought a couple of bottles of wine.
How is it in the unknown land? Do the dead wander hand in hand?
Come on down, old thing. You can't quit now. You'll never discover how much worse it can get.
Do tall white angels gaze and wend along the banks where lilies bend?
Whether they do or they don't, there's no need to rush to find out. Unloose the noose, s'il vous plaît.
Tell me, Mrs. Quirk, how are things at the office?
Unsettled, Mrs. Spavin.
Unsettled?
Very. One of my brooms is missing. All the clocks are 5 minutes slow. And Mr. Simeon is plotting to do away with Mr. Primus.
Is he now? Oh, good.
Simeon.
Primus.
So, Simeon, you wanted to see me. And I think I know why.
Oh, yes?
Mon Dieu. Is that a pistol in your pocket, or...
Yes, it is, actually.
Fine piece. Family heirloom, is it?
No, I hired it for the day.
Splendid. Before we start on the agenda proper, take a look at this. El Cid's first contribution to Primus's potpourri. Sensational. What I really admire about her is her artistic genius and her general aura of neuroticism tinged with tuberculosis.
Fascinating.
Damn it, Simeon, that thing was loaded. And it was pointing in my direction.
Oh, Mr. Simeon. Mr. Simeon, what have you done?
I'll tell you what he's done, Mrs. Quirk. He's brought a loaded gun into my room, which was highly irresponsible of him. And, of course, the bloody thing's gone off. I could have been killed. A lovely, refreshing cup of tea, please, Mrs. Gill.
Oh, yes, Mr. Primus, if I can get back in time. So then...
Oh, thank you very much.
Goodbye, Mr. Primus.
See you soon.
Farewell. Adieu.
Right. You requested a meeting, Simeon. Smart thinking. Well done. Simeon, how many more bullets are in that gun of yours?
Only two.
Well, I wish you wouldn't fiddle with it, Simeon, because... It... You see? Damn it! Damn it!
Oh, Mr. Simeon, what have you done?
I'm afraid he's repeated his foolish error, Mrs. Q, in blatant contravention of our health and safety policy, paragraph 6, which states quite clearly, thou shalt not tote guns.
Oh, tea, Mr. Primus.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Simeon... Not that you deserve it.
Thank you.
To return, encore. It seems to me, Simeon, that you're not as happy in your work as once you were. Vanished is that certain je ne sais quoi. Perhaps your needs will be met by going on one of those courses where you make bridges out of unpromising materials and eat berries and rabbits. By the way, do you think I ought to confiscate that wretched gun of yours before there's a very nasty accident?
No.
Oh. Or perhaps, Simeon... It's the case that you're looking for more flexible hours, or even another position.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, Simeon, how very sad. We've had such happy times, Nespa. Success, too, of course. Oh, yes, we've been a fine team. A perfect partnership of kindred souls. Have we not, Simeon?
Yes, Primus, I suppose we have.
Simeon, the Almighty bless him. Broke the mould when he made you. You are one of a kind, and a dear, 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 dear friend.
Oh, Primus!
Oh, Simeon!
Oh, Primus! I've changed my mind.
Do you mean you withdraw your resignation?
Yes!
Oh, Simeon!
Oh, Primus! Oh. By the way, Primus, I have a confession to make.
Aha! So it was you who wrote the graffiti in the staff toilet?
No.
You're right. On reflection, it was me.
Oh, perhaps, but it was I who shot at you. Twice.
Yes, I noticed that.
And it was I who threw a bomb at your cab.
Oh, really?
Primus, I tried to kill you.
Mon cher ami, think no more on't.
Also, I gave you a bottle of wine.
Of course you did. There you are, you see? The generosity of a true chum.
Actually, Primus, it wasn't quite a bottle of wine. It was half wine and half laudanum.
Oh, yes?
Enough laudanum to kill an elephant.
Good Lord. I didn't know elephants took laudanum.
What, I wonder, has happened to that bottle?
Well, I think he went along with me to Rossetti's place. There were two bottles, and one of them I polished off while I was coaxing the suicidal Sybil out of her noose. But in view of what you have just declared, I rather doubt if that particular bottle was the one you gave me. Simeon, give me a cab.
Almighty Pater in heaven, I require your assistance, Sir Rupley. My name is Primus, by the way, of Spavin and Spavin in Paternoster Row. Used to be religious publishers, but now we turn our hands to almost anything, really. Hang on a second, will you? Cabby?
Yes, sir?
Can you not go any faster?
No, sir. My horse and I are suffering from post-traumatic shock disorder.
But you see, almighty Peter, by means of a bizarre concatenation of circs, the firm, I'm informed, has suffered somewhat on the financial front. So I was really hoping for great things from my latest venture, featuring Lizzie Siddle of 14 Chatham Place. Therefore, if anyone has drunk from the poison medium red that I took round to her place, let it be the husband. Or failing that, the wombat.
Miss Siddle! Miss Siddle!
Stunning wine.
God, it seems, is deaf.
So, Primus, I gather the much-vaunted series of death diaries has died a death itself.
Sadly, yes, Stepater. The Cid collapsed on the job, I'm afraid. But as ever, it's an ill wind.
Oh, is it?
While I was foraging around for literary remains, Lizzie's husband knelt by the open coffin, racked by anguish sobs. Oh, Lizzie, quoth D.G., why did I neglect you so? Why, instead of seeing to your needs, did I paint and poetize and chase after stunners and take the wombat out for walks? Suddenly he leapt up. Lizzie, quoth he again, the notebook of poems, those very verses which I was at work on while you sat with your size eights inside the fender gazing at the fire. You shall have them, Lizzie, my dear. And he thrust the said notebook into the coffin and hid it under her carrot-coloured hair. Now, my views on this kind of business are well known.
Are they?
You can't allow sentiment to stand in the way of publishing great literature.
I don't think I'm with you, Primus.
Perhaps not. But you'll make sure you are tonight.
Tonight?
At Highgate Cemetery, Stepater. Meet me and Simeon by the main gate at 9 o'clock. And bring a spade.
A spade?
Yes. We're doing a spot of grave robbing. Don't be late.
That was episode 3 of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochrane. Gerald by David Horovitch. Cordelia by Maggie Steed, Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs, Simeon by Charles Simpson, and Mrs. Quirk by Joan Sims. Rossetti and the cab driver, Stephen Critchlow, Lizzie Siddle, Becky Hindley, and Darwin, Ewan Meredith. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.